Haggai chapter number 2. Remember that this is a group of the people that came back to rebuild the temple, and they got discouraged, and God gives them a challenge to consider their ways. And as God gives them this challenge to consider their ways, they get discouraged. They get discouraged, and then they get discouraged again. God sends the prophet Haggai to come and speak to their hearts and show them their needs and show them the message that God has for them to continue on building the temple. And we here, we come to Haggai chapter number 2, and we are looking here at verses 10 through 19. Haggai chapter number 2, what we're going to see is the hindrance of filthy workers. We begin looking this book, and remember, as I told you, there was only about 50,000 that went back to start building this temple. They got excited. They got everything they needed. They laid down the foundation, and then there was problems. The Samaritans started causing issues and causing problems, which caused them to stop serving and stop working for a number of years. And God sends Haggai and says, "It's time." And he says, "Consider thy ways." And we looked at that in chapter number 1. Then we continue on seeing the hindrance of a future worker. You say, well, aren't future workers good? Well, future workers are good when they actually are planning on doing something. This idea was they're saying, in the future we're going to do this, in the future we're going to do that, in the future. And for them, the future never came until God's man came and says, we need to stop. We need to stop saying the future. Time is now to build. And then we talk about the future, the hindrance of former workers. You know, the people that had seen the temple originally, and some people believe that Haggai might have been older gentlemen at this point in time, and as a child saw the temple, but they mourned and they weep because it wasn't the way it was back then. And we've talked about the importance of keeping your eyes focused on God and what God wants us to do today. Doesn't mean it's ever going to be like it used to be, but that this is what God's given us. If God wanted to build another temple like Solomon had, God could have done that. But God chose to use this group of people to build a smaller temple. And this group, they weep. He comes in chapter number 2. Looks like they've been working a little bit less than 2 months. And in these less than 2 months, they get discouraged again. Now, some people believe that the temple actually has been built in between these two times, that they have been, the job's finished. And I do not know enough, or as I was digging around, I read different things that temple looks like it's completed here. So you said, what are they discouraged about? Well, they're discouraged because God has not started blessing yet. They're thinking in their mind, okay, we're doing what God's called us to do. We're doing exactly what God has asked us to do. Now, why aren't we seeing God's blessing? Chapter number 1, we talked about how all the different things that God had allowed happen to their lives, and they, you know, things were not going right. It was like they were putting stuff in bags just to kind of filter out the holes, and all the work they were doing, they were reaping very, very little, that they weren't being blessed by God. And so now they have said, look, we've done what you've asked us to do. We're building this temple. We are putting our sacrifices on this restore altar. Now, where's all the blessings at? And this is where it comes into the fact that God tells them something. He says, look, this is the message. It's not just about doing exactly what I told you to do. He says it's also having the right heart. You see in this passage of scripture, God is going to be speaking to them about the importance of being clean. Let's look here in Haggai chapter number 2. Let's look in verse number 10. It says, in the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius. Once again, we see here that they have a calendar that's marked here. It's actually, the date is December 24th. I do not know the exact year. You know, as you get older, you forget things again. I picked up my wrong notes again, so I don't have my notes again. So we're doing this for memory again. But, second time in like 2 months that happened. So maybe God's trying to tell me something here. I need to get a better memory. I think it was year around 560 BC. It says, in the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying. So, well, why would they say to ask the priests? Why in the world, what's the big deal about the priests? Well, back then with the law, just like inside the word of God, God did not cover every single issue in the word of God. He didn't say, hey, you should not smoke cigarettes. He gave principles that apply to this. He didn't say you should not do drugs or cocaine. Well, the word cocaine is not found in the Bible. There's principles that are there, and there's different things that talk about using different parts of God's creation the wrong way and things like that. But there's principles that are there. So he's saying to them, and they're discouraged, you're saying, okay, where is the blessings from God? And God just simply, through Haggai, gives them a principle here. He says, now go ask your priests these questions. Now some people think they're asking the priests this question because the priests are some of the people that are dealing with the problems. Later on, you're going to see in the book of Malachi, which is a few years later, the priests are one of the big issues. And he says, go ask your priests this question and see what the question is. Verse number 12, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment and with the skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. So here's the question. If they have something that's holy, it comes in contact with something that is unholy, is it still holy? The answer is no. Because when it comes in contact with something that's unclean, it's no longer holy. And the next question here, verse number 12. Verse number 13. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean, so it's a completely different thing, something that is unclean by a dead body, it's already unclean, is already unholy, touch any of these, shall it be unclean? So it's the idea of something is unholy or unclean, touches something that's holy, is it then going to miraculously become holy? And the answer is no. That holiness is not communicable. Holiness is something that you just by touching something, you don't become that. And this is the principle that he is explaining. Yes, they are doing what God has asked them to do, but there's something wrong here. It says, and the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people. This is they're building the wall. They're building the temple. They're doing what God has asked them to do, but their hearts are unclean. And he's saying, there's this hindrance that's happening here. The reason why you're not being blessed is because you are trying to do something that's holy and you're unclean while you do it. That just doesn't work. It keeps on. Verse number 14 says, so is this people and so is the nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. So he's showing here, he's telling him to consider their ways. He's giving them some examples of what's happening. They're expecting more from their reaping, but it's just not happening. And it says, and when one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. He says, I did all these things to try to get your attention, but your heart just got harder. This is the interesting thing, is that many times judgment will just harden the heart. It's the word of God that comes through. And that's what Haggai is trying to say. Hey, look, your heart got harder. You saw that you weren't producing, and you continue not producing, and you continue not producing, and God continued to hold back his blessing. But you wouldn't get it. Instead, God sends the prophet. Verse number 18 says, now, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth? From this day will I bless you. He's saying, if you will get your heart right, this is when I'm going to be able to start blessing you. So tonight, I'd like to think about this for a little while, some pretty good things, some pretty interesting things in here to help us understand, and hopefully we can draw some different things out of this, and hopefully we can leave this place understanding something. God does not use unclean vessels. God wants to use someone who has his heart right. Doesn't mean it's perfect. No, no one's perfect. But at the same time, a person that's trying to do what's right for the Lord needs to make sure that they're trying to have a right heart also. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I know that tonight's message is important. It's key because, Lord, we all want the blessings of God. We desire them in our families. We desire them in our church. We desire them individually. We desire them for our country. And Lord, as we see this passage of scripture, this group of people, like all of us, desire blessings. Lord, teach us tonight something important. Teach us this truth that holiness is not just something you're going to catch. It's a way of life. It's one of desiring to have a heart right in tune with you. And help us to have that tune. In tune, be in tune with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So you see, the first thing is the blessing that was wanted. The blessing that was wanted. They wanted God's blessing. And I mentioned that in a second ago. Isn't that the case? I mean, don't we write out our prayer requests because we want God's blessing? We want to see God work. We want God, we work towards it. We do everything we can and say, okay, Lord, I'm leaving everything out there. Now please bless what I'm done in my life. And that's what they're doing here. They listened to the message. They heard Haggai in chapter number 1. They started building, got a little discouraged. Haggai came back and said, look, things might not look like they used to, but keep on building, keep on going. Now that they're finished their project or almost near finished their project, he's saying, you want God's blessing, but here's the problem. Here's the issue. You're doing it the wrong way. Your heart's not into it. There's so many different ways you can look at this. You know, if you have a completely gallon of water that's completely pure and clean, and you take something that's just a little bit of dirt, is that gallon of water going to make the little bit of dirty water clean? No, it's going to make it all dirty. If you have 10 kids in a room and one of them has chicken pox, are the 10 healthy kids going to make the one chicken pox clean? No, it's not going to happen. Why is that? Because the uncleanness is what's communicable. And when somebody that is holy and trying to do something right, they go and they go near what is unclean and unholy, they're going to contaminate themselves. They're going to do something that is wrong, that is going to cause them to bring unholiness in their life. And this is the reason why the Bible is so clear. And the Bible says, be holy for I am holy. And it's important how we live our lives. We want to stay away from things because of the fact that we want God's blessing. We desire God's blessing. And because of that, we need to try to have the right heart. I mean, so often we have worked so hard and we work so long and we try to do so much. And we don't see blessings like we want to. That's why God says, consider your ways. Consider the idea, is it a problem with future workers? Is there a problem that people keep on saying, I know what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to get that right someday? Is there a problem of former workers, of people saying, you know what, it's not the way it used to be, it's not the way I like to have things done, it's not the way I would do it, and then they just don't do anything because it's not the way that they thought it should have been before? Or is it a problem with filthy workers? People who are being disobedient, people who are not doing what they're supposed to do. And God's saying, I'm just not going to bless that. Take your Bibles, if you like to, 1 Samuel chapter number 15. In this story of 1 Samuel, you have the story of Saul. And you have a problem with someone being disobedient. And I love the story, and I love some of the phrases that are found in the Bible here, because they are so telling. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we see here that God says to Saul, you know what, if you would have done what was right, I would have blessed you. He didn't just set him up. It's 1 Samuel chapter 15. He didn't just set him up to fail. God was willing to use Saul. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Let's look at verse number 16. The word of God says, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said to him, stay on. Now, Saul has just gotten back from defeating the Amalekites. God has told him to kill everything in this certain portion of the Amalekites. He has told him to utterly destroy everything. Saul has disobeyed. Saul has kept back the king and kept back some animals for sacrifice, but Saul thinks he's done nothing wrong. Verse 17, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, when he was humble, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He's saying, no, I did what God told me to do. And it says, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, he blames it on the people, took of the spoil sheep and oxen, and chief of the things that which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as an iniquity, idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Now, you say, what's the big deal? You see, Saul did what was wrong. Saul wanted God's blessing also. Saul thought he did things his own way. When he was little, God was willing to make him head over all the tribes of Israel. He was willing to set him up to be king. And he says, look, this is what I'm willing to bless you with. And he says, no, I'm going to do things my own way. How does this apply to this passage of scripture? Just because you're doing sacrifices doesn't mean that you're right. Don't miss this. Just because you could be busy as a termite or a beaver, whatever you want to, serving the Lord, doesn't mean that your heart is right with God. What it says here in these verses, it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected thee from being king. What I'm saying here is that we can serve and we can serve and we can serve, we can do and we can do and we can do, but if we're not doing things God's way, God's just not going to bless it. And that's what they're waiting for, the blessing. This group from Haggai is sitting there and they're saying, okay, we're working. We've done what God has said. We've listened to the man of God. We're building the temple. Now, why hasn't God taken off this problem? Why isn't God blessing us like he said he would? He's just not doing what he said. They're become discouraged. So the first thing is, think about the blessing that they were wanting. And once again, we all desire a blessing from God. Second thing I want you to see here is their second point, the blessing that was withheld. Let's go back to Haggai, if you like to, in the book of Haggai. Let's see what it says in Haggai about how God withheld this blessing. In Haggai chapter number 2, once again, it says let's go ahead and start in verse number 15. And remember, in verse 14, he gives this comparison about being unclean. Verse 15, it says, now I pray you, consider from this day an upward from before the stone which was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. He says, now go back and remember this. Since those days were, and then he begins to show them how he has punished them. Since those days were, one came to the heap of 20 measures, then there was but 10, but one came into the press vat for the draw out 50 vessels, and out of the press there were but 20. You imagine if you were going to plant a garden or do something and you were expecting to get 100 apples and you only got 50, you'd be pretty disappointed. Or maybe if you're planning on planting some trees and then you were expecting 100 apples and only got 10. Now imagine, multiply that, and think that's your livelihood there and you're only producing 10% or 20% of what you thought was coming. Surely we would be disappointed. I smote you with blasting. This is God saying this. I smote you with blasting, with mildew, and with hail, and all the labors of your hands. Yet you turn not unto me. He says, I pretty much did everything to show you there's a problem. But you still refuse to turn unto me, saith the Lord. And then he says, consider now from this day and upward. So here, what did he withhold from them? He went ahead and he did the things that caused them to look to God. Go to chapter number 1. Look what it says in verse number 8. It says, go to the mountain, bring and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew upon it. He's saying that you didn't do what you could have done. Look what it says in verse number 6. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them into bags, to a bag with holes in it. He's saying, back in chapter number 1 and back in chapter number 2, these are months later, he says, you're having the same problems. The exact same things are happening to you. Now, why haven't you turned back from me? Now, you've changed your way. You've gotten busy. You like the ritual side of things. This is why baptism doesn't save anybody. you know, you can't take someone who is unholy, put them in some water and expect them to come out holy. It's not communicable that way. There's only one thing that can wash away the sins of a person. That's Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can make us holy in the sight of God. And so there's no ceremony that can do it. There is nothing that can make us clean but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so here's the thought is that he says, look, this is the blessings I'm withholding you. Now, can't you figure it out? Can't you see it? There's a mess here, and this mess has been here and has been present. You've gotten busy. You've served. You've done all these things, but you still don't have the blessings of God. And now they're discouraged because of it. They're like, I can't figure it out. God says, you need to turn to me. You need to get things right. You need to start having a heart. You need to stop trying to be unclean on the inside and start acting like you're clean on the outside. Now, in Joshua chapter number 7, you have the story of Achan. Achan takes of the accursed stuff from the city of Jericho. Actually, let's go ahead and take it and look real quick if you like to in Joshua chapter 7. Nothing better than the Bible to tell you this story. In Joshua chapter 7, they've just defeated Jericho. No one was supposed to touch anything. It was all supposed to be the Lord's to begin with. Now, you say, how does this compare here? Well, what did God promise the nation of Israel? God promised the nation of Israel to conquer the promised land. They were going to be able to destroy all their enemies. He had made them a promise. He says, I will bless you if you listen to me. Look, it says in Joshua chapter 7, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and a cursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, this tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, and on the east side of Bethel, and they spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people and labor thither, for they are but a few. So they don't consult the Lord. They think, hey, we took care of Jericho, we can take care of Ai. But they didn't know there was sin in their camp. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate unto the Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. They don't understand. They just had won this great battle of Jericho. Now they can't stand before Ai. What's the problem? God's blessing is not there anymore. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face and before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And so what is Joshua saying? God, where's your blessing? You didn't hold up to your word. You said you would do something, and you're not doing it. That's the same thing that people in Haggai are saying. Let's look here in verse number 8. It said, O Lord, let's go to verse number 8. O Lord, what shall I say? Then the Israel turn their backs before their enemies, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do unto thy great name? The Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. So what do you see here? God had made them a promise. Joshua was saying, you didn't hold up your end. Verse number 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were a curse. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Now go back to Haggai chapter number 1. It talked about how God made a promise to these people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And this was the people of Haggai, they're getting disappointed. They're saying, God, we're doing what you asked us to do. Now, why are you not blessing us like you promised? Now, same thing with back here of the story of Achan. Achan, they were going to Ai. They went to Jericho. They crossed the river. Why? Because God told them they could have the promised land. God did not bless them. God didn't let them conquer Ai. Instead, you see the amazing power that God allowed Ai to defeat Israel, the much smaller army. What are you getting at? Christian, sometimes our lives are a mess and we don't understand why. It's because we think if we keep on messing around with the unclean thing, it won't hurt our holiness. We think we can keep on messing around with the things of this world and it's not going to affect our worshiping of God. We think that we can continue on living in sin or watching sin, playing with sin, fooling around with it, and think, hell yeah, God can still bless me. That's what Haggai's people say. Well, no, Haggai's people, no, these guys are building a temple. They're working. They're doing a hard work. You go to Ezra, they're putting it out. They're doing the stuff. They're busy. But their hearts aren't right. So God says, I can't bless that. So God's trying to teach him something. So the third thing I want you to see is the blessing that was waiting. And it says in verses number 18, 19, consider now this day and upward from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it as a seed yet in the barn, yea, as yet in the vine, and as the fig and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth from this day, will I bless you. Now, God's saying, look, I'll bless you even today. From this day forth, I want you to remember this. I can bless you, and I will bless you. That's the promise, and that's better than any bank loan. It's any better than anything else. God's word, God's promise, it's waiting for you. It's sitting there. It's waiting for you to be used by God. He's waiting to bless you. He's waiting to use you. Now, I know what some people go through, some people's minds, especially us that might be going through a hard time, it's like, okay, I'm living for God, and 1 week he says it's a trial that God's trying to grow you as a Christian. Another week you're telling me it's because I have sin in my life. Well, I'm having problems. Is it because there's sin, or is it because God's trying to grow me? Well, there's a lot of different reasons why bad things happen to good people. One of the main reasons is because of sin. One of the main reasons is because there's sin in a person's life, just like in this story. God says, I let this happen to you, and 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 you did not turn to me. So how do you tell if you're going through a trial, so God is trying to grow you, to make you better, to help someone else later on, trying to get glory out of your life, trying to use you in a way that God can say, use your testimony to help somebody else, or it's because of sin? I don't got all the answers, but I tell you some things that help me. If I'm living for the Lord and I can honestly go before the Lord with an open heart and a clean heart and say, Lord, teach me what you want me to learn. I'm willing to go through whatever you want me to go through to be able to learn these things. That's usually a person that is not being tested because of sin. That's something that God's trying to work and maybe help you understand so later on you can help somebody else. But majority of times, people will come to me and say, I don't know what God's trying to teach me, and I don't know what God's doing to me, and all these things are happening in my life, and I don't even understand why. And I ask them a question, when's the last time you read your Bible? Oh, what does that have to do with anything? And it's because there's God's trying to show you something there. When's the last time you prayed? When is the last time you dealt with that sin that you know you had, but we've covered it up so long that we don't listen to God's Holy Spirit anymore? See, that's what the people in Haggai did. For all those years, they built up their own houses and said, oh, not time yet. It's not time yet. In the future, we're going to do it. Now, they were surprised that that was the reason that God was going on in their lives. So what is it? And don't get me wrong. I don't think I'm perfect. I know I'm not. I know that I struggle as a human with my flesh, just like everyone else does. And we should keep short accounts of God. And sometimes God doesn't let things happen. And you got to say, now, why isn't God blessing the church? Why isn't God blessing our home? Why isn't God blessing our country? God says, consider your ways. Take time to think about them and ask them. And you know what? Sometimes the sin is so open and so right in front of our face that we could ask anybody else. They all know it. But we ourselves are oblivious to it. Now, you say, okay, Pastor, I get it. Achan was wrong. Achan was bad. He took the accursed thing. Everybody knew, everybody saw it because he buried it. Well, nobody else knew. That's like one of those hidden sins that only God knows about. One of the times that, many times God's saying, okay, if you're going to be a servant of mine, you're going to live for me, you know what? I want you to deal with that attitude you have. I want you to deal with that fear that you have. I want you to deal with that worry that you have. I want you to deal with those hidden things. This is what I'm trying to pull. And you say, well, no, I'm good. That's really not that big of a deal. That's not a big, important thing. You know what? It could be. That could be the reason why God is not blessing you in your life. He's saying this to a whole nation. This is a whole group of people. He's saying, where is God's blessing at? It's sitting there. It's waiting for you. He has given you promise after promise. He has promised you peace. He has promised you that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens. Whatever God wants you to do, He can make you able to do that. He can make your fruit prosper. He can make your ways prosper. You go to the Word of God in Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. It talks about how your leaf's not going to wither. It talks about all those people who meditate in the Word of God and how God can prosper you. All those things. He's like, why isn't that happening to me? Well, this is what the passage of Scripture is saying. Is there something we should deal with? Is there a sin? Yeah, I say, Pastor, I don't get it. The hindrance here we're talking about tonight is filthy workers. Why isn't God blessing? And you can apply it whatever way you want. I know some people can say, I know why God's not blessing that family, or why God's not blessing that church, or why God's not blessing the country. And it's easy to point. We all could. But I think when there's a problem or there's an issue, I always point people back, make sure you're clean first. Talk to a husband and wife lots of times within the first couple weeks or first couple times I talk to them. Make sure that you're right with the Lord. Because if you want God's blessing on your marriage, you want God's blessing in your life, I want all this to go right. I want my family to be right. I want my kids to love the Lord. I want to see my finances taken care of. I want God's blessing. It starts right over here. Am I right? Am I living a life that God can bless? Because the problem isn't the former workers or the future workers here. The problem is that their hearts aren't right. I dare to say that that's a lot of times what's wrong in many churches like ours, is our hearts aren't right. You mean God's going to get sit there and punish you and punish you and punish you? You know, I don't have all the answers. I know God loves me and God cares for me and God has blessed me and God uses me. And I know that there's times in my life when I deal with certain things and God pricks my heart and God continuously loves me and He chastens me sometimes when I don't get it right. And if something I guess keep on doing, God can chasten us like He talks about in Hebrews. He chastens us. But is there something in our heart that we know God wants us to deal with? And we just say, I'm not going to do it. And to expect that God's going to bless a life like that? I think that's what this passage is talking about. If we know what we're supposed to be doing and we're not doing it, how can a holy person touch the unclean thing? Is that holy person going to make that thing, that holy thing going to make that old other thing unclean, holy? No, it's the other way around. So what are we messing around with in our lives today? What is it that we need to look at and say, okay, God, I can't control my husband, I can't control my wife, can't even control my kids, definitely can't control the preacher, or can't control this. I can't do all these things. But I can control what's inside. And I want to live a life that God can bless. That's what Haggai, that's what God's saying. I did all these things, and you still did not turn back to me. Maybe tonight we need to ask God to view some of those strongholds in our life and say, maybe those things that we don't think we have to forgive, or those things we don't have to forget, or those things that we don't want to let go of, or those things that we've convinced ourselves it's okay that we don't do, or convinced ourselves that it is okay that we do. Maybe we should take a good long look and say, could that be the reason why God's not blessing me? Could there be some dirt somewhere that I've just chose to, I know it's dirty underneath the refrigerator, but who really wants to pull the refrigerator out and clean underneath there? Nobody sees anyway. Maybe we need to let the Word of God shine that light, even in those back corners, and say, could this be the reason why God's not blessing me? And don't get me wrong, it's not always about sin. There has been many a times in the Bible where God allowed things to happen, like we learned from that blind man this past week, right? That that God might be glorified in it. Wasn't the parent's sin, it wasn't because of his own sin, it's that God could be glorified. And sometimes that's what happens. And, you know, but usually when I see that happening in a person's life, they usually have a pretty good spirit about it. Because they understand God's working in their lives and how God's working through that. They see and they expect God to work and they accept it and they say, you know what? God's trying to do something here. I know He is. I'm going to let Him do it because all things work together for good. It's those that worry me and says, I don't know why, and they get in a discouraged. Is it easy to get discouraged? Yes. But is there something we need to say? Is this the reason why God's not blessing me? Now don't get me wrong, people get sick. We're human, we're flesh. Our bodies fail. We get sick. We have heart attacks, strokes. We have things that come and people die. You can't turn around and say, you know what, a 95-year-old person died. God's trying to judge me. He's 95. That's gonna, I just picked a random age, so don't get upset with me, Miss Betty. So, you know, her dad's 95. No, he has not died. But it's the idea that our body breaks down sometimes. Yes, it's natural. God can bless you so you can live longer. Yes. But don't get confused in all this. The whole and part of the message is, if you have sin, if you're unclean, you can't expect to be helping other things and making it holy. You can't have the measles and be around 10 people that are healthy thinking that's going to make you clean. It just doesn't work that way. We need to get rid of the unclean things in our lives so that way God can bless us. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.